As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Valeant Pharmaceuticals International is up 1.7% right now. Its chief executive, Mike Pearson, will step down following a series of missteps and criticism at the drug maker that culminated in a 61% drop in the company's shares last week. Stocks, meanwhile, little change. They are near the highest levels this year amid deal activity while investors assess a rally that turned equities positive for the year. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The S&P 500, again, little change. At 2049, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down a point to 17,600, and the NASDAQ is up 0.2% or 9 points to 4805. 10-year Treasuries down 13 32nds, the yield 1.92%, yield on the 2-year 0.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 46 cents to $39.90 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $8.50 to $12.45.80 an ounce. The euro $1.1267 and the yen is at 111.82. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Interactive Brokers. They offer direct market access to stocks, to options, to futures, Forex bonds, and ETFs in over 100 market centers in 24 countries from a single account. Visit IBKR.com/trade worldwide. IBKR.com/trade. Worldwide. We'll get to Valeant in a minute here. We've got a good guest on that coming up. But right now, three quick questions. John Butler joining us from Bloomberg Intelligence as we look at Apple. I am dismayed, John Butler, at the idea of unit focus and product focus by the media and even to an extent the street. To me, Apple's always been about profitability. This new phone they're coming out with, isn't it all like older stuff where it's immediately profitable to the company?
It is, Tom. I mean, that's a great point. Today's introduction of the iPhone SE is really Apple's first attempt, in my view, at a product line extension of the iPhone. So they're taking the latest specs from the iPhone 6 and the 6S yeah. Plus, and they are porting it to the older chassis of the iPhone 5. And so what it... The appeal of that is I think a lot of people, an estimated 60% of the installed base, are hanging on to phones that are
because
iPhone
they don't want to
5S's
spend the new money.
Or older. I think they want a smaller form factor, and I think a smaller form factor, a 5S with updated specs, is going to be a winner. That's my sense.
This is the first time they've done sort of this filling in of a hole in their product line as opposed to launching something completely new.
Yeah, but think about it, Mike. In the past, what Apple would always do at lower price points is they would
sell
the old ones. So people didn't have an opportunity to have a smaller form factor phone. And believe me, there's demand out there for that. They didn't have a chance to buy that phone with updated specs. And so even though we're not getting a brand new camera in terms of new technology, or a brand new Siri or operating system, it's going to be on par with the latest technology on the market.
Is this thing a Samsung killer in 7/8 of the world that can't afford $600, $800, $900 for the new whiz bang product Michael McKee's buying for his family over in Fifth Avenue?
I won't go to the Fifth Avenue store. I'll go to the West Side.
I'll make no comment on
Fifth
that.
Too crowded.
But is it a Samsung killer?
Well, you know, it brings them into a part of the market really where they've never been before, which is that I don't know the price yet, but I imagine it's going to be a mid-priced phone. Samsung plays at the high end, the mid-range, and the low end. And so this will expand Apple's reach from the premium-only segment hopefully down more into the mid-range with an updated device.
Okay, John, we got to leave it there. The news flow this morning is extraordinary. Thank you for the too brief a visit. We'll get you back when McKee has to buy his 47.6 plus right now. There's any number of people working on Valiant this morning for us. Zach Tracer is with Bloomberg News, and he joins us now. We're only having him on because Duke is doing pretty well in the brackets, and we figure Zach is looking forward to the Duke-Oregon game. Zachary, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
What is a distinctive feature that you, Cynthia Kunz, and others are looking for right now? What's the information you need from Valiant?
You know, we're just trying to understand, you know, what is really going on here. We saw, you know, Valiant say, you know, the chief financial officer, you know, basically being asked, the former chief financial officer being asked to resign, the CEO leaving as well as soon as a successor is named, you know, material weaknesses in internal controls. So just a lot of trouble for Valiant this morning and trying to understand, you know, what it means for investors.
Do we know when we might find out more?
You know, we're obviously working on it over here. You know, the company has said, you know, they've asked for additional time to file their, you know, their annual report. So it could be, you know, a few more weeks at least.
Okay, Zach, thank you so much. And tell thank you to Cynthia Kunz for helping us out earlier. Mike, bring in our next guest.
Well, Jerome Haas is a portfolio manager at Lightwater Partners, and they took a short position on Valiant when it was the third largest company on the Toronto Stock Exchange back in July of 2015, saying they saw a number of red flags. Mr. Haas joins us now. What did you, let me put it this way. What we're seeing now from Valiant, is that what you saw in 2015?
Well, the first thing that we saw was we were very concerned about their debt levels. So when they completed the Salix acquisition in the spring and early summer, their debt to EBITDA ratio was at 6 times. So on the numbers that we look at, the last quarter that came out, that number's actually risen to about 6.8 times. So they haven't addressed the debt issue, something that they're clearly going to have to address going forward. But the other is that we just generally hate serial acquirers, and Valiant was the poster boy for serial acquirers. And so our view is let's see what they've actually got without making acquisitions.
Their goodwill, badwill, their other intangible assets is a large number. How do you translate the quality of a big hunk of their balance sheet at this moment?
Well, that's a very difficult proposition, and this
Agreed.
Is why we don't like serial acquirers, because you can hide so much with the accounting. You really have to take a lot on face value initially from the management, but eventually, and it takes a couple quarters for that to come out, you can actually get a look under the hood and see what they've really got there.
Yeah, Mike, the goodwill with intangibles, and in this case, let's call it collegially badwill, has gone from $1.3 billion to a published $21 billion. I believe I've never seen this. $1.4 billion to $20.6 billion in 5 years. Can you stay short this security at this time?
Well, we've actually gone to the sidelines. I mean, when the stock drops 50% in a day, you're a short seller. It's time to move to the
sidelines. Which champagne did you buy?
Well, it's one of our short holdings, so it's not a huge position for us. But at that point, it wasn't. But that's a downside of when a short works very well for you. It becomes less and less as a percentage of your portfolio. But you know, it's nice to see things coming through. When you're a hedge fund, you know, when you're shorting a stock, you have to get two things right. One is the thesis right, the other is the timing right. And we were fortunate that eventually it came through in terms of Valiant.
This is a stock that has been up and down based on news flow ever since the first reports of trouble there. It's up 12% right now. Is that an error by investors? Can this stock reclaim its value?
Well, I'm not really going to comment on that because, I don't think it hits 350 anytime soon in terms of Canadian dollars. But I think the stock became an overcrowded trade on the short side after it hit 50% on the way down. And so for us, we don't like to participate in crowded trades or at least be on the same side of them. And so for us, we view it as a time to be on the sidelines. And I think a lot of investors, we'd actually ask ourselves after five heavy days of selling, at some point, this has become a buy, and there's probably other short sellers that are thinking the same thing.
Jerome, you've got a shingle from the London School of Economics, but far more important than that, you darken the door of one of the best economics programs in the world, the University of Western Ontario. Folks, I can't say enough about their statistics work as well. You've got the cred. If you had a cup of coffee now with board member William Ackman, what would you advise him?
You know what? We don't really get into the micromanagement at this level, but I don't know. We have a lot of respect for Bill Ackman. He's a very smart guy. He's got a very great track record. If I was a Valiant shareholder, I would view it as a very positive step that he's becoming actively involved in it. So, but we don't even get involved with the micromanagement of our company.
Well, congratulations on your belief of many quarters ago, and we hope we can speak to you again. Jerome Haas is with the good guys at Lightwater Partners as well. Michael McKee, he was like way out front. Is that accurate?
Yes. You know, the folks at Citroen Research, Andrew Left was the first to publish the Valiant concerns, and of course they called him all kinds of names.
Oh yeah, Valiant. Well, that's part of the act.
He turned out to be right, and the folks at Lightwater also got in early on the short side.
Haven't they been retained to help the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Somebody's. Well, no, we're not even going there.
Okay, Jerome Haas, wonderful to speak to him on this day. There'll be much more on Bloomberg Radio to brief you on Global Wall Street about Valiant, a lot of other news as well. Green on the screen, up 7. The VIX, 14.30. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.